Welcome to this episode of Tastes of Bainbridge, brought to you by BCB, Bainbridge Community Broadcasting. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Heyday Farm is a family-owned, 30-acre, sustainable, and historic farm on Bainbridge Island and has been part of the island scene for a few years now. I'm so pleased that it brings the owners of Heyday, Ty Kramer and Steve Romine, to our BCB broadcast studios today to talk about the farm and some new changes happening there. Welcome, Ty and Steve.
It's good to be here.
Hi, thank you.
Steve, remind us about the overall philosophy of Heyday Farm.
I grew up on a farm in Illinois, and after working all my summers, 60 hours a week in the summertime, I vowed never to work on a farm again. But I learned a lot. I learned about seasonality and the food and how the weather affects all that we're doing. And as I go back to visit, the farming scene has changed dramatically. Where 150 acres used to be the typical farm, it's more like 2,500 acres now. And those 2,500 acres are being farmed by a total of five or six people. So it's kind of mind-boggling to see how big ag has completely taken over what we used to think of as small Midwest farms. In the last few years, Ty and I become more and more aware of our food and where it's coming from, and you know, the statistics about the average piece of food you eat comes from 1,500 miles away, and the wonderful book Omnivore's Dilemma, and hearing about Joel Salatin and trying to bring that. And so those things were all clicking in our minds. And at the same time, we became involved on Bainbridge on some historic preservation, like the Linwood Center and Bainbridge Island Land Trust, and trying to save open space and preserving neighborhoods. So we were involved in that, and then we came up with this opportunity to buy an old farm. And we were doing everything all at once. We were saving these properties from development as residential. We had the buildings on the property that were 1890s, and so we were doing historic preservation, and we got a chance to try our hands at the circular farming, the pasture dance, where everything's interrelated. So all those things came together, but at the same time, we had no idea what a big, complicated undertaking small family farm could be these days.
You know, we actually started this farm thinking we were going to go down an entirely different track, and then it mushroomed into what it is now, and we're really pleased with it, excited about it, and we think we're making a difference in all the ways that Steve just mentioned. But the origins of this, of the farm, goes back to my seeing this piece of property for sale that I hadn't been aware of. And I am a trail runner, and I could just envision this shortcut between the cemetery trail and Rose Loop, which takes you all the way down to the harbor. And so I thought, well, maybe we could buy this land. We could put an easement for a trail, and then we can sell the land and maybe, you know, do something in between. The land, as it turned out, was originally slated to be developed into, I think, eight different lots. And the downturn in the economy came, and so the family wasn't able to sell it. The developer backed out, so they were trying to sell it themselves. And we were fortunate to be able to actually buy it. But then Steve's farming roots kicked in, and even though he vowed out of college, he wasn't going to go back to the farm, which he never did. We did actually go back to the farm. And he had this vision of getting somebody to come on and be an egg farmer and do something small scale, and we'd just lease it to them. Well, at the same time, somebody somewhere caught wind of our notion, and we had an opportunity to go look at the Winnie farm. And I had said to Steve, no, we'll just do it just for fun. You know, we'll just go look. What a cool piece of property to walk. Well, short story, we get to purchasing that one as well. And all of a sudden, we have something that really we can do something with. So it started with something else, really. It started with an interest in linking trails. And I think that that actually sort of ties into this idea of circular farming. It's really more of a circular worldview, trying to take what your passions are and bring them back into your everyday life. And it was partly for me, so I could run that trail, but it was also because I could just see, well, isn't this the coolest thing? That, you know, and Bainbridge has been really great about expanding their trails. For the most part, people are really happy about that. I'm in that camp. So that was actually the roots of how this started, and it's turned into a kind of a overwhelming life path.
Ty, Steve talked about his farming roots in Illinois. How about you? Do you have any farm connection?
I don't, actually, although some people think I do. My father in the 70s with a business partner bought a very, very large and very productive apple orchard over in the Okanagan. You know, it was soup to nuts. It did everything from the picking to the packaging and the storing and then shipping it out. So I think it's sort of interesting because it's a completely different way of farming than I like to think of. It's monoculture. It uses lots of pesticides, a lot of water. They sold it, and they actually sold it for a good sum. I mean, that was their, it was an investment that did quite well. And then as we've seen since then, things have really tanked in Eastern Washington. I'm not even sure the apple industry has recovered for a lot of reasons, I think, that we need to be paying attention to, or people are paying attention to, looking at the way that products are grown and sold. It's a little bit indicative of maybe the larger picture of agriculture in this country.
Yeah. And as Steve was talking about earlier on, how it is changing. I think when I first met the two of you, I shared my background story about being raised in Iowa, never living on a farm, but my parents had friends who were farmers. And so I got to bale hay in the summer and take care of hogs and dig sourdough out of the cornfields and things like that. But Steve, when you compare where you grew up in the kind of the farm scene to what you're doing at Heyday Farm today, what are some of the key differences?
I don't know if it's so much the key differences, but what we're sort of committed to local. I think that goes back to my experience in a small farming community, and everything was local. You knew everybody. You relied on each other. And now when I go back, all those houses are empty, and or they're rented to just people that are just getting by. So it isn't the local economy anymore. A little town of 1,400 now doesn't have a grocery store anymore. I think last year the ceiling fell in and they decided it wasn't worth repairing and more. So here on Bainbridge Island, we have the opportunity to create that small community environment. And Linwood Center is a good example of that. How vibrant that's become, and we hope in this next iteration of our store that's expanding, the Heyday Farm store, that between Pondemore and our store, people can go to Linwood and buy everything they need for a great meal. And we want to have it be a full destination, and you know, and get the community at the south end of the island more identity that
way. We really enjoyed the store last summer, the Heyday Farm store in Linwood Center. It was always fun. We don't live on that part of the island, but it's fun to take a journey over there and pick up a few cheeses next door and a bottle of wine and stuff like that. But so what are your plans with the store now?
We have gone through a change, an iteration in our management of the farm. Last summer, we realized that we'd gone through 4 years of really intensive building it up. And we had the help of a couple, Alice and Craig Skipton, through that journey. And we realized that we had a lot more potential on the farm, where there was a lot more room for productivity coming off of the farm than just two people could manage, our managers. And they were, as they put it, a little burnt out. So we are now in Heyday 2.0, and that means that we have operators who are leasing three of the four businesses on the farm, and they're all under the umbrella, a cooperative way of trying to work together, even though they're independent entities, and that would be the dairy and the creamery, the agriculture, which includes the chicken and the eggs, and then the farm stay and the farm kitchen. The fourth entity, which is still something Steve and I are managing as the owners of the business itself, is the farm store. So we, through the wise advice of Brian McWhorter. We're connected with a woman named Deb Watkins, who's been on the island for many years and has deep roots in local organic food and the grocery industry. So she is now the manager of our farm store at Lynnwood Center. And with her talents and her connections and her vision, and with our support and Steve's architectural skills, we're now expanding the store so that we're going to be about twice the size. And as Steve was just mentioning, and Deb's vision is that we will be a location that with the other small shop owners in Lynnwood, people will be able to come and pick up dinner. Deb's doing one thing that's very fun and innovative, and I think she's super excited about this because she has sort of seen this as a need on the island. She'll allow people to call in and place their order, and she'll put it in a bag, and at 6:30 in the evening when they're on their way home, they can swing by and grab their order and then take it home and cook it.
Oh, what a great idea. Yeah. And so, obviously it's going to be very seasonal. It's going to be right off the farm.
It's going to be right off the farm. She'll expand the products there, so we'll also have beans from some vendor locally or some flour from Bluebird, I think that's what it's called, over in the Metau, and some kimchi from Quilcene, and you know, things like that. She'll try to bring in other local products.
Yeah. What else is going on at the farm itself in terms of how you're developing? What does the model look like with, say, for instance, Brian's involvement? And many of us on the island, even though I'm fairly new to the island, Brian was one of the first people I met, and I was so impressed with him in terms of his commitment to agriculture and teaching people about agriculture. He's quite a teacher.
The thing we get with Brian is we've got 25 years of really knowing how to raise vegetables.
Yeah.
And he's committed at this point in his career to teaching the next group of farmers in America or in the Northwest or on the island. It's how does he take his knowledge and bring this small scale farming to a whole new group of farmers? He's thrilled to death coming in to a heyday because it can be a center point. He's had a model that's very disjointed with, you know, 5 acres here, 2 acres here, 10 acres here, and he cobbled together his whole business. But with Heyday, we have a destination, we have employee housing, we have farming from soup to nuts. It's not just the vegetables. It's the animals, it's the dairy, it's interacting with a store, it's interacting with our chef and the whole agritourism business. So we're excited. And Brian's very excited about taking this as a model and really working with WSU on an internship program and using the farm for that model also.
The whole concept of agritourism, where people can come, stay on a farm for a couple of days, be part of the farm environment, is very intriguing to a lot of people. I think a lot of urbanites, for sure, especially urbanites with families. So this is an opportunity for people to come to your place, to Heyday Farm, spend a few days, live on the farm, and see what's going on in agriculture, and see what's going on with the cows, the creamery, with the chickens. You guys have a lot of chickens now.
Mm-hmm. Brian does,
oh,
yes.
Brian, excuse me.
They
yeah.
used to be ours.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes, a lot of chickens, a lot of eggs. Yeah, it's really exciting, and we do have families that are coming to do that. We've also found that, and I think this is equally cool, and Tad is running this part of the business. We also find that we're becoming more and more attractive to small businesses that want to have meetings or retreats. So they're bringing in their team, and they're bringing in their team from all over the world, in some cases, or around the country. And so that has a far reach, too, because they're also seeing what can be done on a small farm. And I was talking about productivity earlier. I think what we all know, and it's scientifically shown, and I think just in our guts, we know if you manage the soil well, if you do the circular pasture dance, you can be pretty incredibly productive with that land. And so there's that going on the farm in such a small space, and that we're able to, by virtue of bringing these folks in for their businesses or, you know, in some cases, families just coming to have a vacation, to see that real, live. It's something that's happening in front of them. And kind of hearkening back to the business model where we were having a little difficult time making it really sustainable on a financial level. Because we never wanted to be a nonprofit, we really wanted to see if we could make this small farm work. Now we see that it takes an intensive amount of human labor, and it takes a real investment, like a personal investment and a financial investment in the business side of it, in order to make your, as you know, in our capitalist society, right, you're going to work hard for what you're going to reap. So we found that with the different entities, we're able to produce so much more. So this is just a really cool different model, and to be able to have not just families come, but just people from all over come and see this, we think is going to be helpful and impactful for sort of that movement all over. As far as the families coming, I always worry that they come and they think that they're actually going to get out there and be able to milk the cows, or, you know, they really think they're going to go hoe the field or something like that. And there's some reasons why they actually can't do that. They can see it, though, and they can go pet the cows across the fence and that sort of thing. And they can actually, in some cases, go out in the field and get some eggs. And, you know, we do have some programming along those lines. But I kind of hope that people aren't getting this message that it's so relaxed. It's pretty serious work that's going on, and it takes some skill. But it is a neat opportunity for anyone to see.
To come and observe that, yeah. I mean, on its own, it's pretty important. We're talking with the owners of Heyday Farm, a 30-acre sustainable and historic farm here on Bainbridge Island. And I wanted to ask about what you were just talking about, Ty, the idea of this being a model for people to observe and look at. When people, you know, ask about the whole concept of actually doing a farm that is, quote, sustainable, do they get kind of excited about that on a 30-acre farm and being able to really, you know, make it happen?
This winter, I had two people call me because they wanted to do a farm, a small farm,
yeah.
And they were looking to buy a property, and they wanted to know what was entailed. And in both situations, it was someone was buying 5 acres and they wanted a few chickens and they wanted a few pigs and then a big garden, and it's a whole nother thing. I think we talked about that we had no idea what we were getting into trying to do the farming, especially doing a farming in a city, because we have to go by all the rules and regulations everybody does if they're building a house. And then a lot more, and the licenses, the license to have eggs, license to process the chickens, license to have the refrigerators, all the different L&I reporting on, you know, our workers are out there and they keep a time card, and we list 5 or 6 different things they're doing because the L&I insurance is at different rates for everything that they're doing. It goes on and on, the learning experience and working with the state and the county and the city on the regulations.
We did get a call, which was forwarded on to us, and it was from a woman in Seattle who's living in a retirement facility, and she has, I think she said maybe 16 acres, and she'd heard about Heyday, and she wants to connect with us so that maybe we can, I don't think she thinks we're going to buy it or anything. I think she wants to know what we're doing to make it viable business. And so she's interested, and that's the kind of stuff that we hope happens, yeah, you know, with a podcast like this, or just sort of out there, that we think we're doing something with this 30-acre piece of property that is probably novel. It's a risk and it's novel, but it might be a good answer for other people in similar situations around the country in order to make their land the most productive, being as environmentally careful as we can and being fiscally sustainable. We're hoping that, say, this woman might be able to envision a way to pass it on to an entity that might do the same thing. Or we just hope that we're part of that conversation of how can you bring farming back to local and healthy and environmental and financially sustainable for the farmers.
Yeah. I wanted to talk also about your website, which is a beautiful website. when I go to it, I think it looks pretty cool.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. It is very cool. And Alice put a ton of work into that. So it is really cool. We're 5 years down the road. The website's probably 4 years down the road. You know how quickly things change.
Yeah.
We understand that the backside of it is clunky. It doesn't work that well in different devices. We know that at some point we're going to have to put some significant, you know, effort and money into upgrading it. But right now in 2.0, we've shifted so that I'm actually managing it a lot more closely because with the different operators, the information in there has changed.
Yeah, sure.
So we're upgrading and we're shifting and we're adding new pictures and we're trying to make it so the information's accurate and still interesting. We're going to actually change the landing homepage so that there's a couple of images of the farm, beautiful photographs of the farm that'll slide. But all of that, having said that, if you're a techie or you're a person that likes devices, you might look at it and go, God, it just is slow or it doesn't get me the information I want. But thank you for that. That's nice of you to say.
I've had pretty good luck, and I'm certainly not a techie. One thing I do when I go to sites like yours is I'm always looking for recipes and food, and you've got a ton of recipes and a lot of really cool ones. The chili relleno one was wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Well, we'll let Tad know.
Yeah, okay. Well, talk a little bit about Tad and food. Are there plans there to expand that?
Well, Tad is local. He went to Bainbridge Island High School, and his family has deep roots in the community. Tad started cooking when he was 15 years old and has worked at many restaurants on Bainbridge Island, Ruby's, when it was at Linwood Center, right where our farm store is, for Swallows when it was at Linwood Center, Streamliner Diner. He was there for a number of years. And he went through about 7 years with Tom Douglas in Seattle at the Dahlia and some of the restaurants he had there. So he has a lot of resources to call upon in Seattle also. So with Tad there, he's excited about local food. He used it a lot in his past experience. So he wants to build a program to really show off that food and tell the story. We often, when we have dinners, have one of the farmers come in and talk about what was just picked that day that we're using in the recipes. Yeah. So Tad's got a lot of experience and a lot of connection and interest in the local community.
Tad is really current, too. That's what's so cool when you have one of his meals. He produces a meal that looks beautiful. It's the right portion size, and the taste is super fabulous and fresh. I think what's really cool about Tad is this isn't just the food industry for him. It's not just restaurants or being the executive chef that he is. He's taken on the farm stay part. So he's now doing hospitality, which is really a complimentary, but it's quite an addition to the food part. And he's got a great team. He's got Sherry Stoddard and Noelle Arsenault, who are helping him with hosting and the back kitchen. It's pretty cool, and it's wonderful to see him stretch himself to do that, and I think he's really enjoying it. And I think he also sees how those two are importantly complementary and integrated. And I think what he would like to be able to do is to serve all of his friends on the island more meals because he's used to doing that and seeing them. And I think that there's folks on the island, I hear this a lot, that miss the fact that they can't just run into Streamliner Diner and see him and get a great meal. But he's working on how he might be able to make prepared food more available on site for them. But it's at this point, it's a learning curve about where it can his business needs to go.
Yeah. Will he eventually be doing things like cooking classes?
And they actually have done a few. And I think right now, really, it's looking at where the private or corporate, the small corporate events are filling in the calendar so he can figure out where to put the other public events. But there is that public service side that he really, you know, to get people to come in and understand more about the farm itself and the food to the table piece. He's not going to not do that. He just hasn't figured out the best way to put that on the calendar. So that's a piece in work, but it'll all become clear in the next couple of months.
Yeah, good. Well, I want to make sure we've covered all the bases here in terms of the new aspects and what your hopes and dreams are with Heyday.
Well, the area of the farm we haven't discussed is the dairy creamery.
Oh, yes.
Heyday Farm Creamery. We're very lucky to have Vicky and John McGarity join us. They had the Hansville Creamery the last 8 years. It was a small-scale dairy, primarily goats, and they had fine-tuned and perfected cheese making, which is an art. I think when they say artisan cheese, there's a reason it's artisan, because it takes a long time to get a feel for it. And I really believe they have the feel for it. They also have a feel for the animals and dealing with the animals and the psychology. Why are the animals acting this way? Why is the cow kicking? A lot of moving parts when you're doing a dairy, including all the equipment and making sure it's all working and getting the right pHs and getting enough water out of the curds. And then the thing most people don't think about is when you have a dairy, one of the biggest things is an area called manure management. And probably I don't need to talk about that, but that's a big part of our business and the whole pasture dance. And once 2 years ago, we realized when we were doing a dairy, oh my God, what do we do with all of this byproduct? So we created a composting facility up in the area of our farm we call Pigtopia, where everything's hauled up there and mixed with a carbon of some point, and it mixes it and aerates it and produces a useful product in just a month instead of 6 months. But that aside, Vicky and John have come to the farm with a wealth of experience, and they've also brought to the farm sheep and goats. So we've set up a whole separate area that's a goat dairy and a sheep dairy, which is a fun introduction because the little lambs and the kids are incredibly captivating and cute. Then we have how do we feed all these animals, and we've just installed a system called a fodder system, and it's a sprouted grain system. And in a room that's 15 feet by 25 feet, we have trays that we put barley on, and in 7 days, it sprouts, and it's like a field of sod 7 inches high. And you can pull it out of these trays just like you would sod and feed the animals that way. And in this rotation, in the wintertime, they'll be able to feed all these animals, the 8 cows, the 30 sheep, the 30 goats. And we're starting an experiment about this fodder system also feeding the chickens. So we're pretty excited about the potential of that. The real potential is how it brings down our feed costs.
The cool part is that it then gets us off of the grains. Yeah. And it gets the animals eating a product that their systems are used to eating naturally, and they can digest it more fully. So it's pretty exciting. We're really thrilled because when John and Vicky came, that was one thing they had been looking at for their own dairy. And Steve, 2 years ago, we'd looked really closely at it, and Steve had sort of already spec'd it out and designed it. And then we all came together, and it was like, now's the time to implement it. So we're pretty excited about this particular product. You know, the other thing about the farm, we really have found that there's so much experience, expertise, commitment, talent on Bainbridge. I mean, it's just amazing. We couldn't even cover. We've never sat down and listed everybody and every entity that we've had crossover with and done some good work with. But the composting facility is Green Mountain Technology, which is a neighbor across the street from Hayday Farm, basically. It's his technology, and it's just so awesome. We actually were sort of a prototype that we put in at the farm to be able to manage the compost. And then there's the other entities. Islandwood is the obvious one. They're great friends, and we've got some potential to do even more amazing things together. There's Educulture, who does a lot of great educational farm-related work on the island, and they've been coming to Hayday for as long as we've been around, and Brian, and that connection is even stronger now. Friends of the Farms has been phenomenal, and so it just kind of goes on and on. We've been really lucky to find this dynamic community that welcomed us, you know, took a little while to break in, but welcomed us, because we're hoping that we're not the big scary guys down the street. We actually hope that we're just part of that process, and that if there's little ways we can be catalysts, or if other people are catalysts, then we can see that. Even though it is not a nonprofit, it is a business, we do hope that we can continue to build relationships and make this be successful, not just for Bainbridge, but to be something that might even be a model for other entities around the country.
I think the seeds of what we're doing in the island go back 15 years or so with the Trust for Workable Landscapes that became Friends of the Farm. Yeah. And that was out of trying to get the city to buy a property for farming. And they bought 60, 70 acres to protect that. And out of that came a city council that was really taking on how do we incorporate farming into our community. There's nothing in the building codes and so forth. We had a very good city council 8 years ago that started to work on it. And 5 years ago, they came up with new recommendations. And we used every one of those. You know, one time I said, but Kathy, it's right there. Kathy Cook at the planning department. And she was talking about what we're doing and how do we do it. And I said, but Kathy, it's right there. We can do it. You know, it says it right there. And she said, but did you have to do it all at once? That was part of the challenge. So we've done it all in a lot of cases, and hopefully it's a model where the city knows what to expect, what the boundaries are, and how they can work to do new planning, zoning codes to further help farming on Bainbridge Island.
It really serves as I keep using the term model, example, whatever you want to call it, in a lot of ways. It's multidimensional in that regard. I mean, when you talk about Joe Salatin and Pasture Dance, and it's really encouraging. And then when you drive out through your property there and see the big chicken tractors and the chickens hanging out, it's pretty inspiring. It's really a neat place.
Thank you.
Well, Ty and Steve, thank you so much for being on Taste of Bainbridge today and talking about Heyday Farm.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Our pleasure for sure.
Here's a special thanks to you, our audience, for listening to this podcast from Bainbridge Community Broadcasting, BCB. BCB is the nonprofit, all-volunteer community radio voice of Bainbridge Island. And this Tastes of Bainbridge podcast series is underwritten by our locally owned food market, Town and Country Markets. In addition, generous financial support for BCB is provided by Sustainable Bainbridge with the help of One Call for All. Major additional support has been donated by the Island Cultural Enrichment Fund of Bainbridge Community Foundation. Thank you for your support.